Hi, I'm Brawny and devoted to you, and I'm Allison.
And I'm wondering if it's true what they say about men who've just been released from prison, Evan.
And we are Cheryl's bitches. This fucking episode, man.
This episode is so good.
Like, what's funny is, like, kind of nothing really happens. It's like, it's kind of three plot points, but it's just so entertaining.
It is one of the most entertaining episodes of this entire show. Like, I swear. It's so good.
This is chapter 21, House of the Devil. Mm-hmm. And we're back to a Jughead voiceover to start off. And he's talking about different ways that people are, like, reacting, responding to the Black Hood. And he says that Archie and Veronica are fighting the Black Hood with, I don't know what the fuck he says, but he's basically like, if you just spend all your time making out and other stuff, then, you know, the Black Hood didn't get you down.
I just wrote in my notes. First of all, Jughead was pretentious as usual and references Edgar Allan Poe, but... I also said, then he called Archie and Veronica horny.
He says that Archie became the opposite of death.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one. Yes, he did. Also, there's under this narration, Archie and Veronica are, like, making out aggressively the whole time in different spaces. And at one point, they're in the student lounge, and Cheryl walks by and says, ugh, get a room, xenomorphs.
Which is very fair, because just thinking back to high school, it was super fucking annoying when people would just be making out.
I talked about this with my boyfriend the other day, and I was like, yeah, I don't remember how it came up, but I was like, yeah, like the kids who would just make out in the hallways in high school. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, did you not have kids that would just, like, aggressively make out in the hall, like, before their class, every class period? It's like, somehow... within that 4 minutes to get between classes, they found each other and their faces were, like, attached for three of those 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you not have those kids? I was like, how? What?
Okay. Damn. Where'd you go to school? Fucking not Virginia. Riverdale High. The voiceover kind of ends with them naked in front of the fireplace at the Pembroke, cuddling on probably like a real fur rug, and it's just so, it's just like, okay, we get it. The only, and this, there's a lot of Archie this episode, which I'm not the biggest Archie fan. I like that, I think they're entertaining later this season, but this, it's just like all they do is fuck. Like, how do they ever just hang out? Like,
it's a relationship that's clearly based off of sexual attraction. Let's just say that.
Yes. So they're, whatever. They're cuddling. Archie's like, are you sure your parents won't come back? Because remember, Hiram said, like, if you ever touch my daughter, I'm going to kill you. So yeah, he should probably be a little afraid. And as part of this conversation, Archie says that he loves Veronica. And it is so awkward because she not only does not say it back, but is kind of like, oh, like, so then he was, yuck.
And so it gets, like, really awkward, and he's like, I should go. And she's like, we should at least put clothes on. But she does kiss him before he leaves. So I'm like, it seems a little hopeful. Anyways, then Jughead and Betty meet at Pops to discuss Jughead looking into the Reaper. He's been doing some research. And he said he found evidence that confirms the creepy dude story from the last episode. And the Reaper is in fact real. There are newspaper clippings about it. And Jughead shows them to Betty, and Betty goes, she's a little gooped and gagged. honestly. And she's like, oh, that's the house the Black Hood sent me to.
Yeah.
Oh. She's not enjoying discoveries that Jughead found, to say the least.
She's like, you need to go to Sheriff Keller to get, like, see if there's files on the case to, like, continue the research. And she's like, I can't go to Sheriff Keller because I didn't tell him that I was talking to the Black Hood, so it would be kind of sus. And she also can't go because mostly because she did accuse him of being the Black Hood last episode, so, you know.
Jughead, I think, literally responds and goes, yeah, that would be awkward.
So, yes, they, Betty doesn't even want to go back to the house anyway, so don't worry, they'll pawn it off to someone else. But at that, then Jughead gets a phone call, and it is FP, is getting out of prison.
Yeah. Then Varchi and Bughead meet up to discuss FP getting out of jail. And they're like, oh, how did he get out? And Jughead is like, overcrowding.
Okay.
They're like, okay. And then Bughead asks Varchi to look into the Black Hood lead that they discovered for them, and they're like, we can't because we have to go deal with F. Like, we have to go. Jughead's like, I can't because I have to help my dad get out of jail and like transition back normal to life. And Betty's just like, and I need a break.
She's like, I don't want to do it. So you guys,
I'm not in the mood.
And Veronica,
I do think this is like the first time we've seen them interact as like couple units, if that makes sense. I feel like, because like in the past when the four of them have hung out, even if they were dating, it was like they were all hanging out as friends. Mm-hmm. But this is like the first scene where it was like Bughead and Varchi, and like they were interacting.
Yeah. Veronica says, she's like, so you want us to be you guys? So they're doing a little role reversal of Veronica and Archie are going to investigate.
Yep.
Steven's like, did this need to be here?
I like how we both just looked at each other like, I don't want to talk about this.
The locker room.
You can see this scene.
Cheryl's like, your back looks like sailor's rope or something, because I guess she has a bunch of knots in her back because Josie is stressed. She's talking to Josie, sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, decides to give her a back rub. And in this moment, the janitor walks in and like sees them, and they're clearly like embarrassed. And Cheryl says, take your male gaze and your male privilege and get out of the women's locker room. And Josie's like, oh, it was an accident, because he like walked, I mean, it was an accident, he just walked in, like assumed, I guess it's after school that everyone was like gone. And Cheryl's like, he should be fired, that peeping Tom.
Also, a note that I don't know if this was true, like the last locker room scene, but this time I noticed on the outside of Cheryl's locker it says HBIC.
I didn't notice that. Oh my gosh. Hands like,
apparently, there is a specific locker for the head bitch in charge.
It's hers.
Yeah. Anyways, then Veronica gets home and Sheriff Keller is leaving her apartment. And she's like, sus. So she talks to Hiram and Hermione, and they reveal that they received a letter from the Black Hood saying that they were sinners and they were targets. And Veronica's like, oh my god, what? And Hiram and Hermione are both like, and Sheriff Keller said like a bunch of households got this, we like don't know exactly how valid it is, like we're not too stressed about it.
Veronica's like, but I don't give a fuck more.
They truly are. And Veronica goes, yeah, but unlike those other houses, we're actually sinners.
You know, I like that for the self-awareness of it all. I'm like, yeah. It's a
self-aware queen.
And why is...
Yeah, and we should be targets. Like, do you not see what we're doing?
And one of the reasons Hiram is not stressed is because Andre is trained in the martial arts. I'm like, would that be that helpful if the Black Hood does have a gun? Like, you sound like Archie right now.
Anyways, they also say that they should spend more time with Archie because he's doting, broad, and clearly, like, protective or loyal or something along those lines.
They say he's brawny and devoted to you. We see a quick scene of him getting out of the shower, of course, because he has to be shirtless, and Veronica texts him to like come over.
You think there is like in his art in KJ Apa's contract a like number of scenes he must appear shirtless in?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like Sam Levinson type, like I mean, I doubt he minds as much because it's less for like a guy actor to have to be shirtless in a scene versus a female actor. But I'm sure he doesn't mind. If you look like KJ Apa, would you mind? Like,
no, I'm not saying I mind. I think he's like upset about it. I'm just like, sometimes they throw in shirtless scenes for Archie, and it's just like, why? Why are you shirtless in this moment? Or like, shirtless. Why is this scene even here? So it feels like it's meeting like a contract quota. Anyways, so Archie gets a text from Veronica asking him to come over. Betty is also getting ready to leave and asks Alice if she can borrow the car. And she says FP's getting out of jail and they're going to treat him to pops. And she's also at the same point, she's like, also, you'll probably find out anyways. So just so you know, Jughead is a serpent now. And Alice is a little judgy, but not nearly as bad as I would have anticipated from her.
Yeah, it actually wasn't that bad, but yeah, Alice is gonna Alice, so.
I mean, she was basically just like, what else should I have expected? But like, not like, I forbid you from seeing this man, which is what she would have done in other episodes.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't important that she continue to be in the episode.
Yeah. Jughead is meeting with all the serpents to tell them the good news about FP. And he also says that he has a meeting with the mayor to discuss on how, like, how to actually improve the South Side instead of just like attacking it. Tall Boy is not into this plan and makes and throws a fit, to which Jughead says, Tall Boy, I'm sick of you acting like a little bitch. Squish is bold as hell for a 15-year-old Jughead to say this to. I mean, Tall Boy is pretty tall and muscular, and it's like, what? Is this a good choice, Jughead? He's gonna kill you.
I'm sorry, I don't know how they got it in, but I'm so glad they got that line into this episode. I'm sick of you acting like a little bitch. It's also the way that Cole Sprouse delivers it is just, it's pure, it's amazing, it is perfection. I don't often praise Cole Sprouse's acting skills, but he really did something there.
He committed to the bit.
Did. Anyways, then Jughead's like, we should have a vote for those who support me or who support Tall Boy. And Tony gets up and is like, everyone in favor of Jughead. And it's like, everyone. So Tall Boy storms off and is not happy.
Tall Boy in his flop era. Archie is at Veronica's. He came over and she's like, I want to do the investigation. It's because she's worried about her parents, that her parents now have gotten one of the threatening letters, and she is like, let's focus on the case, because she doesn't want to talk to Archie about saying I love you or not. So, you know, she's repressing.
Yeah, it's really kind of painful to watch because he's like trying to start this conversation and she just keeps kissing him to interrupt him.
Yeah, they only do one thing.
Anyways, Archie talks to Fred and Veronica talks to her parents, and it's like one of those scenes where they keep cutting back and forth about Archie saying I love you, and Fred tells him just like, don't let it go to your head, it'll be fine, well, like, you'll get through it. And Hermione says it really doesn't matter what Archie said, and Hiram goes, or didn't say, that's what I prefer.
Aww, Hiram's cute in this moment.
It was like Hiram's cute dad moment. And Hermione's like, but it really doesn't matter what Archie said or didn't say. It's more about like what you're ready to hear, Veronica.
True. You need to think about that. True.
Anyways, then FP gets out of jail, and Jughead and Betty are there to meet him. And then it pans over and Alice is also there with the car. And she is just feeling some type of way, apparently. And she looks at FP and says, is it true what they say about men who have just been released from prison, FP? And he says, what do they say? And she goes, that they're incredibly sexually frustrated.
Hi. She's in a chaos era, man.
She's truly in her chaos era. She got called she's so Taylor Swift coded. She got called a snake once and made it her whole personality for 3 years.
Still like that. So then they all go to Pops together, and the one I wrote down, the prison that Effie was in is called Shawshank.
I also wrote that down.
Of course. Which I'm like, okay, what's it? Didn't we see this person? Like, wasn't it not that bad? Like, you never got beat up or anything? Anyway, whatever.
It wasn't that bad.
Anyway, Riverdale Writers. He's in AA now because, like, Alice is, of course, being judgy and is like, well, the Black Hood is targeting sinners. Like, do you think you're next? And like, you're under control now, but when you start drinking, it'll be bad again. And he's like, I'm in AA, and he actually does not want to be a serpent anymore. He wants to get out of it to like stay on the right side of the law and maybe work at Pops as a waiter. Jughead is not excited about this because he's been waiting for his dad to get out to like bring the servants together.
Yeah. Then Betty and Jughead go to talk to Sheriff Keller about the Riverdale Reaper case and why the files are missing, except it's not Betty and Jughead, it's Veronica and Archie. I just wrote down the wrong names because they're doing role reversals.
Yeah, it's Veronica and Archie.
Going to talk to Sheriff Keller about the Riverdale Reaper case, and they're like asking why the files are missing and what happened to them. And Sheriff Keller's like, oh, it's not uncommon on these like old cold cases for the officer to check them out and to like take them home with him. And so they're like, oh, so who would have this? And it's Sheriff Keller thinks the old sheriff would have them, but that sheriff died a few years ago, but his daughter still lives in town. So they're like, okay, we'll call the daughter. So they call the daughter and she is just not having it. And she's like, my dad was obsessed with that case. He would hang out at the house constantly. He called it the devil's house. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Never call me again. And like hangs up. And it's like, well, thank you for giving us the relevant information.
I'm so confused about this because like, if this is some cold case that Jughead had never even heard of before, how many people are calling this lady trying to get inside sources about it? Like, this seems like it's not that high profile.
There's a lot of questions I have about this case. Like, why is this man just hanging out in this house that's been abandoned since a quadruple homicide happened there?
Yeah, no one's trying to sell this house. Like, no one's tearing it down. Like, it's just there.
It's like no one tried to sell it, which would make like it would make sense if it was like a notorious murder happened here, but clearly the town is not still hung up on this. So like, why has no one tried to sell this house?
It's just empty.
Lots of questions.
The next scene is
I'm questioning later, after what we learn later in the episode, why he's still like hung up on this case. Cause we'll find out later, but it's resolved, question mark?
Yeah.
So questions.
So the next scene is Jughead and FP motorcycling together because they're both biker boys now. They like pull over to talk, and Jughead does tell him about the delivery he had to make for Penny Peabody, and FP is very mad because he said, like, the one thing he said is don't do anything for Penny, but he says that he doesn't want this life for Jughead and that he, like, could go to college and just have a better life than what FP has to go through. But Jughead wants FP's like blessing and approval to still be a part of the Serpents, and FP says yes as long as Jughead keeps writing.
Yeah, Jughead also lies to his dad and says that the Penny Peabody job was a one-time thing and that they're squared away now and there's like nothing else happening there, which we all know is not true.
Yeah.
Anyways, then FP's working at Pops, and Betty and Jughead are there, but so are Cheryl and Josie, and this plot line is continuing. Anyways, Cheryl is talking to Josie about how Josie was offered $5,000 to play at Reggie's dad's used car dealership opening, and Cheryl says, Josie, playing a car dealership opening is barely a step above amateur porn. The lines this episode are so unhinged.
Everything's like just out of pocket. I feel like they're all just like so extreme. But let's just say, in Josie's defense, she's paying $5,000 to play 5 songs. That is
exactly.
Like, who wouldn't accept that? Like, that's a lot of money.
Especially when you're in high school. Like, you don't have expenses.
Damn.
Cheryl gets mad after she says that Reggie's dad wanted to escort her, and so she spills her milkshake on the ground purposely, looks at FP and says, clean that up, plebe, the way you did my brother's blood.
Cheryl is being like a bitch in this moment, but it's kind of fair. Like, she's allowed to hate FP of all people, right? It's
not she's like allowed to hate FP.
It's not like she threw the milkshake at him. You know, it's like, okay, well, is that the most mature response? No, but like, they're kind of, Jughead's response is like too extreme, I feel like. Because right after this, Jughead is like just ranting to Betty because he's mad because his dad used to be a king and now he's cleaning up over the likes of Cheryl Blossom.
Put this down. I wrote this whole quote down. It's, my dad used to be a king, a leader of men. Now he's being demeaned by the likes of Cheryl Blossom. He deserves to be honored, not humiliated.
It's like, didn't you hate your dad like 5 months ago? Didn't you literally hate him and said like you never wanted to see him again?
For the majority of his life, didn't he actively hate his dad? Particularly because he was in the Serpents.
Yes, and like, not trying, like, he struggles with addiction, which like is a struggle, but it's like, if you're gonna be like, he was the great guy, he deserves to be honored, it's kind of like, wasn't he kind of like an unemployed asshole for most of your life who like couldn't support you, so you had to be homeless? Like, raise your bar a little bit, Jughead.
Betty's like, we should honor him. Let's throw him a retirement party.
I guess. So Betty goes to the White Worm to talk to Tony about like planning this whole retirement party. And Betty says that she wants to keep an eye on Jughead. So wants to know how to potentially become a Southside Serpent as well. And this random older lady serpent, Birdie, is kind of laughing at Betty, and she's like, you have to do the dance to you're just a little North Side prep. You're not going to do the serpent dance. And Betty wants to know what the fuck the serpent dance is.
It's so good. Tony says the serpent dance is an outdated sexist tradition. And she said, I tried to get it outlawed, but misogyny dies hard.
Which I'm like, also, good for you, Tony, that you tried to get this outlawed. Because isn't she like their age? And she's been a serpent. Well, I know she didn't have to do it, right? Because she's a serpent by blood.
I think that's the ruling. I don't know.
I think so. Because she's 15 right now. So, and she's been a serpent for years. So let's hope she did not have to do that. I mean, making them do it at 15 is also incredibly wrong. But
it's fucked up. Also, Tony is bartending in this scene. I need everyone to know that. She is fully bartending. But yeah. So Betty's like, I want to know how to join so I can protect Jughead. Then Jughead talks to FP about the party, and FP's like, I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to leave that behind. But eventually he convinces FP to do it. But right after that, he gets a call and he's like, oh, it's from Archie, but it's actually from Penny, who's asking him to be at Pop's. So then Juggy goes and meets her at Pop's. He's like, I'm done working with you. I don't want to do this anymore. And Penny tries to blackmail him with the video again, but he's like, no, I'm working with the mayor. Like, that's not going to work on me. But then she's like, but what about your girlfriend, Betty Cooper? And Jughead's like, wait, what?
She says that all snakes have a soft underbelly, and she is Jughead. I'm like, I love you. You can't be like, everyone has a soft spot because they're serpents. So they have to be like, all snakes are slithering beings. They just have to have a snake metaphor for everything. So yeah, Jughead is gonna like continue to do it because she's threatened Betty now. Sad.
Then Archie and Veronica are investigating the devil's house. And they decide to do this at night because they're very smart individuals.
Smart.
And so they have the newspaper article and they're like walking through what happened. But Archie's like, you know, if the sheriff kept coming here time and time, like something's gotta be like weird and doesn't add up about this case if he keeps coming back to like investigate. But yeah. Veronica's investigation outfit does slay. I would like to say that. It's another cape moment for her. And I know how you feel about the capes, but I love the capes. So she's pulling it. She's rocking it.
So during this whole scene, they're like, Archie tells the whole story of what happened that night, like how the Reaper killed the mother first, and then the father, and then the kids. And then so they're like in the kids' bedroom, and Veronica notices that on the wall, like where they would measure the kids' height as they grew, there were three sets of initials that were labeled on the wall, when really, when the Reaper only killed two children. So she's like, well, WTF, was there a third kid? They immediately, of course, find evidence that yes, there was a third kid. They had like a family photo that had like the two parents and three children. So what happened to the other kid?
So this is a trope in like every show of the like marking the height on the wall as kids grow. And I have never once encountered someone doing that in real life.
It's kind of a big commitment because it's like if you ever move, like you got to repaint that.
Right? And this one's like etched into the woods. They'd have to like redo the like holding
something. I don't know. They don't do something.
They have to redo something. Anyways, then Tony and Jug are talking at the White Worm, where Tony is yet again bartending about Penny, and Jug is like, "We're done." And Tony's like, "Okay, whatever you say. Hope you're right." So she's sauced. Then Betty is then there's another very short scene. Betty's organizing the retirement party and Alice walks in. So she's like, yeah, we're doing this. It becomes important. But it happens.
It happens. So then Alice goes to Pops to yell at FP for dragging her daughter into the serpents. And he's like, you should come to the party. This man is dead ass shooting a shot in this context when she showed up specifically to yell at him. So I'm like, I have to respect, because then she's like, oh, Hal would never come to that party with me. And he says, then leave him. Then leave him at home. So
and Louisa wrote down, Alice says Hal wouldn't come. FP says, or FP tells her to leave him. Dot dot dot. At home. Winky face.
Winky face, winky face, winky face. Yeah. So FP, shoot a shot.
Anyways, Alice also says she doesn't want their kids to make the same mistakes they did. So like clearly something was up between them and high school. Because he also FP also says they weren't all mistakes.
Damn. So then Archie and Veronica are like debriefing about what they found out. And they found out what happened to the third kid, that he was adopted so that he could have like a normal life. And so like he could still be connected to the Black Hood, or maybe even be the Black Hood. They don't really know who he is. So Betty and Jughead, they're like, oh, do we want to look at old Riverdale High pictures to try to like find him? And Betty and Jughead are like, oh, we gotta throw the retirement party, like, and they give the least enthusiastic invite to Betty, to Archie and Veronica ever. They're like, oh yeah, and like, you should come. Yeah, they should come.
It was actually very funny. Anyways, Archie and Veronica both like have a look like, yeah, we're not gonna do that, but as we see later, they do. It doesn't make sense. The timeline of this doesn't make sense, because they're like, we can't go because we have to go to this, like, we can't do that tonight because we can go, have to go to this party. But then Veronica is looking through a yearbook and Archie's like staring at her, clearly wants to talk to her about stuff, and right as Archie's like, I think we should talk about what I said, Veronica's like, oh, I found him in the yearbook. Which, like, impeccable timing, Veronica. Impeccable. And they find out that it is, in fact, the janitor that was the guy who was survived. So they, like, run after him, and they call him by his real name, and he runs away.
Yeah, and then Archie, like, manhandles him into this locker, and I'm like, you have no evidence that he did anything. Like, is this... I feel like, you know, you catch more flies with honey. Like, they're being so mean to him. Why would he tell them anything? But then, of course, he does. Just tell them the whole story. So I'm like, okay. He's like, why he's okay staying in Riverdale and, like, whatever, is because he already has justice. Because that night, he, like, heard sounds coming. So he, like, escaped the house. But he did... like watch as the man walked out of the house in his whole family's blood, and he knew, he like saw his face, so he knew who it was, and it was this like con man that was like, we get no answers to like why he actually killed this family. They were kind of just like, he's a con man who was like, why are you killing a family?
He was passing through town, like, they didn't really give an answer for like the motivation. They were just like, he was a drifter. Anyway, so the whole town banded together the next day and killed him in Pickens Park.
Yeah. They demanded blood for blood. And then Veronica's like, you sound like the Black Hood right now. And Archie can luckily spare him, because Archie has seen the Black Hood's eyes, and these are not the correct eyes. So the janitor is not the Black Hood. Yeah, about the whole case thing, I agree with you, because like, okay, we found out case is solved, like the guy who did it was killed, like why are you still investigating this whole case? And if like this group of people did it, including the kid that like the police officer had to have interviewed this kid, right? Because he was like officially put up for adoption, right? Like it wasn't like a secret. So wouldn't he just say like I know who did it, and maybe the guy was already dead, but that would mean the case is closed, right? Like
it's like it's not officially closed, but you're like not staying up at night hanging out in the house where all these murders happen at weird hours because you're still puzzled and traumatized by this case. Like
I don't know.
It's and just why, it's not adding up.
And it's like, okay, so the kid, like I get why they didn't know about the third kid, because they like hid that he was the child of all this, but the cop would know.
Cop would know. Also, why is this kid still like sorry? Even they were like, we want you to have a normal life, so we're putting you up for adoption and like changing your name and everything. When apparently half of this town knows that this kid survived because off of his testimony, they went to the park and murdered a dude.
Why can't he just live in another city? Like what?
Why did he have to change his name?
Yeah, I feel like you just send him to another town that doesn't know the story. I don't know. Whatever. I'm
impressed about people not knowing who he is. Like, change his name and send him to a different whatever. But why are you changing his name but keeping him in Riverdale? Where people would presumably still know who he was.
It does not make sense. I think we hear a little bit more about how this is maybe not. I mean, I don't think this plot is fully resolved, so I guess we should reserve some judgment until.
We should.
Maybe we're supposed to be suspicious.
Betty's getting ready for the party, and she seems to just be like staring in the mirror. Like she's running her hands along her body doing things. And then she takes her hair out of her iconic ponytail. So she's ready to go to the party.
Damn. And then Hermione is talking to Veronica about like why she can't say I love you, and she's like, it shouldn't be a big deal for me. Like, I don't know, growing up, like it's not like you guys, like I never heard you say it to each other. So she immediately self-therapizes herself. I always use that as a verb. I'm like, I'm therapizing myself to realize that she might have some reservations about this word because her parents have literally never said it to each other in front of her. So yeah, I guess that would kind of fuck you up. So then at the White Worm at the retirement party that they did decide to go to. Archie, before that, Archie's talking to Fred and says he doesn't want to lose Veronica. And Fred's like, okay, just give her time. Then at the White Worm, Tony is saying that like Jughead looks nervous about what's happening. And he's like still scared about FP leaving the Serpents and all of that. And during this conversation, Alice and Betty strut on in, and Alice is wearing this black sheer top with like a black bra and like a leather jacket. Betty is in a blue sleeveless button-up that has like an embroidered collar and pink corduroy skirt. And they are slaying.
I said Alice and Betty arrive, and they look amazing in all caps. This entire sequence, I used so much all caps.
This is very chaotic. So I like that Alice walks in, and the bartender knows her order. And she's a tequila girly. And Betty tells Jughead that she has a surprise for later, which is one way of putting it.
Yeah. Then Veronica and Archie meet, and Archie's like, can we talk? And Veronica's like, we're at a party. I don't want to discuss serious things right now. And Archie's like, no, I just wanted to say that, like, what I said was about me and how I was feeling in that moment. And, like, I don't want you to feel pressured to say it back. And Veronica's like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for being so understanding. Like, you're the best. And then he's, like, immediately weird about it. It's like... oh yeah, I signed us up to do duet of that one song you love. Or I guess maybe just like a lot, if that's okay, at least. It's like, Archie, what the fuck?
I kind of like this because I feel like it is a trope of like this whole dynamic. And then the one person says like, no, you don't have to say that. And then like Veronica would be like, no, like that proves to me that I can trust you. I do love you. Like, so this was kind of, I think Archie thought that was going to happen.
Archie fully thought that was going to happen.
He definitely did, because then it didn't. And he was like, damn. So Archie and in this, frankly, iconic, groundbreaking scene, Archie and Veronica are singing karaoke. They are singing. One, I like when you were saying Archie, like, introducing it. He's like, that one Johnny Darko song you love. But they are singing Mad World. And one, this is the first time that Archie is singing in season two.
Like, I know. Fully.
And it's just karaoke.
No. So, literally wrote in all caps, who's ready to be uncomfortable? I've honestly forgot that this is how this scene starts, with Archie and Veronica singing Mad World, because we'll see some, that's not how it finishes. But it's really uncomfortable to watch as they sing and they're like clearly not enjoying themselves. Also, I'm not gonna lie, like, Archie's a better singer now. Like, I didn't hate his voice while we were watching, while he was singing this.
I think he's definitely improved.
He's gotten better, which I was like, after season one, he doesn't sing. So I like forget that he can sing from time to time, because it's like not his thing anymore. But he gets better, which is sad, because when he was like supposed to be into singing, he's not very good.
Yeah.
Anyways, then Veronica runs off stage, and because this crowd is unhinged, they all start booing.
Of course.
So Veronica, in like emotional distress, sprints off stage, and the crowd is literally like,
you suck.
It's so bad. It's so funny. Anyways, Betty seizes this moment. She sees an opportunity and she's like, I'm gonna take this. So she gets up on stage and she starts singing. Archie at this point has also gotten off stage. We don't know how, why, or when, but he also got off stage. Betty gets on stage. She starts singing Mad World, and immediately to this like a slow, somber song, it starts dripping.
It is so awkward. It's so, you know the scene. You know the scene. Why?
She starts doing like a weird, sad, yet trying to be seductive pole dance.
She doesn't smile once. She's like.
She looks like she's being forced to do it.
Yeah, which is just not, it's not great. Jughead in the audience is not at all impressed. He's just like, menacingly like glaring towards the stage, and
I don't think anyone in the audience is enjoying this is the thing. I'll just like, this is weird. please stop.
Alice, who like was not in the room, walks in and sees all of this, and then, I mean, she finishes her performance, so whatever, the song ends. And FP runs on stage and is like, give it up for her, she did it. Which, like, is definitely awkward, but you can tell FP has no idea what to do. He gives her a serpent jacket and, like, is trying to be nice to her. But, like, yeah, what do you do in this situation?
I will say, it's uncomfortable. But because we all know that Lily Reinhart is a full adult, I feel comfortable saying that she looks so good.
Of course she does. Lily Reinhart, she always looks good.
like, if you discount her facial expressions and the context, she looks amazing. She's wearing like a black full lingerie thing. It's hot. She's serving.
Nice.
Anyways, then back to the actual uncomfortable story. I just needed a break.
Then FP is giving like a speech, like a toast type thing. And he's like, the serpents were there for me in good times and in bad times. And he's like, according to the law, I am not supposed to be here. But no one's going to keep like me from being part with my family. So FP is not retiring. And Alice is trying to get Betty to go home with her. And she says, all right, Coyote Ugly, let's go home. And Betty argues with her. So Alice leaves, but Betty stays.
Yeah. Then after Jughead gets off the stage after his speech, or FP gets off the stage after his speech, Jughead talks to him. And FP is like, listen, I know about you and Penny and what's going on there and that you're not done. So because of that, I have to like stay in the Serpents, you dumbass. And he straight up says that Jughead broke his heart, which is very sad.
It's so sad. I love FP. Yeah. Poor baby. Archie and Veronica are leaving and like they're trying to talk again, and Veronica's like, I just can't go there, like I'm sorry, but like I don't want to be in that situation. Yeah, it's not looking good. She kind of just goes home and it's very much like unrelated. Did they break up? Oh no, I don't know.
Yeah. Betty's waiting outside by the bikes and Jughead comes out and he's like upset, and she asks why, and she's like, is it because of the dance? And he says it's everything, but then also clearly indicates that he's not happy with the dance. And she's like, he's like, why would you do this? And she's like, because I like want to be a part of your world or whatever. And Jughead's like, no, if you are a part of this world, you're gonna get hurt, like it can't do this. So he breaks up with her.
Yeah, and she says like, how many times are we gonna keep pushing each other away? And he says, until it sticks.
Yeah, it's was like, just really sad because you could tell that like Betty understands that this is like a cyclical dynamic within their relationship, that like when things get hard they kind of push each other away, instead of like communicating and working through it together. But Jughead is like, yeah, I know, but I'm refusing to break this cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and then Jughead has this ending voiceover about how they're all in their flop eras. They're like, we're all doing bad shit, but maybe it's the Black Hood's fault. I don't know. And then Archie gets home and he's like looking across, looking out the window at Betty. And he looks at Betty and Jughead says, as if it were for the very first time. Dot, dot, dot. And the episode ends on that.
Barchi shippers.
Barchi shippers and rise up.
Yeah, it was a, like, as we said, not a lot happens, but it's a wild ride.
Gosh, that one scene, it's just, yeah. Yeah, maybe Riverdale, let's not have characters that are supposed to be 15 strip, okay? Like, agreed.
However, I will say, for those of for those Alice stands, those of us out there, we were having a good episode. We were going for it.
Ooh, yeah.
Was it rough for us?
This was FP's episode, because even though it's sad that he couldn't retire from the Serpents like he wanted to, like that is like genuinely very sad. I feel like we kind of brushed over that because like he said in his speech, like he's not probably not supposed to associate with like the other people that have criminal records and such, like if he's on parole, but he feels like he has to do it to protect Jughead. And that's the same reason Betty wanted to join the Serpents, is to like look out for Jughead. And it's like, then Jughead is like pushing them both away. Damn.
Yeah. What a good episode.
Good wild episode.
Unhinged in many ways. I also love that we're getting, like, I've noticed before, like I've said before, the crazy, like, mystery element is more fun to me than, like, the standard teen drama. And so the whole Black Hood plot this episode was really fun for me.
Ways that we're being a little unhinged. It's fun. My quote of the episode was 100% tall boy. I'm sick of you acting like a little bitch.
It was so good.
That just cracked me up.
Mine was 100%. Is it true what they say about men who've been released from prison, FP, that they're incredibly sexually frustrated?
Dang, this is the first, like, phallus episode too, right? Like, this is...
It is, like, the first phallus episode. Also, is she, like, there's just so many layers to this quote, because A, she's so clearly flirting with FP in this moment. She's still married to Hal, and, like...
Care, leave him.
I think for the first
at time, home.
I think at least so far this season, they've been, like, fairly good together. Like, they haven't, like season one, they're, like, constantly fighting and, like, kicking each other out of the house and throwing bricks through windows and things. Whereas this season, like, hasn't really been in it. But also, they're, yeah, like, at least seem to be tolerating each other's existence.
And either way, like, we have a bunch of characters that are in, like, different situations of, like, Hermione last season when Highworm was in prison, like Fred, how, like, he's not with his wife, but, like, they're not divorced, like, there's, like, all of those dynamics, but, like, Alice is very much just, like, objectively married, so, like, she should not, it's not, like, a moral gray area. It would just be cheating.
It would just be straight up cheating. Also, she says this in front of both her daughter and FP's son, who are dating. Which adds a whole other layer to it. It's just, it's so good. And right after FP gets out of prison, amazing. Amazing.
Do we have the same? Maybe we don't have the same. My outfit was Alice's serpent look.
Okay, that was gonna be mine. But since you chose that, as weird as it is, Lily Linehart's stripping outfit, it's just, she looks so good in it, even though it's in context very creepy and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Anything else on this episode?
I think so, other than it was very good. Chaotic, uncomfy, but good.
It was fun.
There were no plot lines in this episode that I was like, I don't want this to be happening right now.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Because usually there's at least, like, one plot line happening in a Riverdale episode where I'm just like, do we really need this? But not this time.
What character should we do? Who is in this episode? We've done FP. We've done Alice.
Done Tallboy. Should we do Birdie? Should we do Birdie?
Birdie. Let's do Birdie. Because she's a scene stealer.
She was such a scene stealer.
I just like how amused she was about, like, haha, you're going to have to strip. It's like,
you're going to have to dance.
Okay, Birdie. We're doing Kinsey Scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. The character is Birdie. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I said 2 and Evan said 4. I will say for myself, we have exactly one conversation worth of experience with this character, and I would say she's a 2. Like, I think she's, like, bi, probably. I wouldn't say I know her preference either way, but I'm not feeling a 2.
That's kind of how I feel. I was like, she's definitely, she's into some stuff. She would not consider herself exclusively heterosexual. It was, general appearance was a little queer-coded, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was a real push for me. Also, the worldliness and lack of care gives me the vibes of a bitter gay person.
Yeah. Very nice. Rip Birdie.
Rip Birdie.
See her again.
He deserved more. She deserved better than having to do the serpent dance.
Yeah. Dang. Anything else?
Oh, one other thought about this dance. Did Betty not talk to anyone about this? Like, wouldn't you have to, like, plan and be like, I'm going to do this so I can join your club? Like, you would think there would have to be some form of communication, maybe some, like, pre-vetting before you get to the stripping.
Because, okay, I get, like, that it's a different entry for, like, men versus women, but Jughead has, like, a whole week of, like, having to watch Hot Dog and, like, all this other stuff. Like, I feel like there might be other requirements. Like, this is like a replacement for when they all like beat Jughead up and like all punched him, because they might not want to do that to women. But like, I feel like there could still be some other requirements. Like, does she have to reach in for the snake? Like, she could do that. I don't know.
You think you'd have to at least like declare your intentions. Otherwise, everyone's going to look at this and just be like, what is happening?
Like, she just walked on stage.
You stripped for half a song. Like, does that mean you're a gang member now? I guess. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Anyways, I will die confused and uncomfortable about this scene.
God, yeah. Because I feel like we see more serpent inaugurations, but I think we don't see any more of these challenges or trials.
We definitely don't.
So. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. The serpent dance. It will forever exist.
Anyway, go do a serpent dance. And good night. Good night, everyone.
You can reach out to us. Let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at Cheryl's B Words at gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is Cheryl's B Words at gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.